Hello, this is Mike Morin, celebrating people who reinvent themselves by finding a new career pathway leading to uncertainty, hard work, and hopefully success. This is Reset. 40 is the new happy. Today's owner of a great second act is Jim Roach of JJR Productions. Now, if you've been to shows starring people like Jimmy Dunn, Recycled Percussion, American Idol finalist Alex Preston, comedians Bob Marley or Justin McKinney, Jim probably booked and produced their performances. All right, so Jim, in an earlier life, you were booking shows into nightclubs back in the 80s. Those were some interesting days, weren't they? Careful.
I believe they were. I kind of forget most of it. No, I ran nightclubs for many years in Harvard Square, Jonathan Swift's, and then in Nantucket, Killington, and the casino at Hampton Beach, and the Campus Club in Providence, Rhode Island. So, yeah, it was a little bit different back then.
So that's the safe answer.
That's the answer that my attorney has given me to give to you today.
All right. So this was a completely different type of lifestyle that you have now. So how did that part of your life get you to working the squeaky clean corporate culture as promotions manager at WZID Radio?
That's funny, Michael, because my life at 40, I decided to change. It's just really funny because I had a very good life. I was having a lot of fun, and I was meeting a lot of wonderful people, and I had some wonderful relationships. Granted, they were short-term relationships. But at 40, I decided I needed to change my life, and I wanted to have different relationships, a different working mode, and it was time to grow up. So I had been working with WZID for a number of years with Alan Derry, who was there at the time, and they asked me to come on as a marketing promotions director, and I was there for 5 years. And matter of fact, Michael, you left like 3 weeks after I started there. Now, I don't know if it was something personal, but you did come back, though, so that was good. But I decided to change my life. And when I went to work for ZID, I actually met my wife at ZID while working there. She had called on me to buy some signs, and I didn't buy the signs, but I bought the big package, which was the house, the living in the woods, and a daughter. So I just needed, at 40, I decided that I had had a wonderful life, but I wanted something differently. I wanted something that was more important.
All right, so I'm glad that you brought up your wife, Karen. Talk about the importance of having a spouse who can cope with and support the prospects of late hours and irregular income.
She is going straight to heaven. She's very supportive. She encouraged me to actually leave ZID because I wanted to pursue more of the concert entertainment aspect, which I've been doing forever. And she encouraged me to do that. And it is struggling at times because working for yourself, there are times when I have a lot of shows in a row, and there are times when you don't have quite as many. So income does vary. But she's very patient. She loves to come out to the shows. She's very supportive, and she does put up with a lot, I will say that.
Had you met her 10 years earlier, would you have been a match, do you think, with your lifestyle and her situation?
Well, I certainly would have been attracted to her, but probably wouldn't have been able to maintain a, committed relationship. But my life, I really wanted to change my life, and I think that's why we found each other, because I decided to make changes in my life.
Mm-hmm. All right, so in show business, as in life itself, timing is everything, mm-hmm. as in the arrival of your daughter, Marlena.
Yes. You know quite well about that story. I produced a wonderful show called Christmas at the Palace with ZID for many years, and we had a lot of fun together, Michael. And my wife and I found out we were pregnant, and the due date was November 30th. And as a joke, I said to her, please, whatever you do, don't have the baby on December 14th, which she did. My daughter was born at 5:30 on December 14th, the day of the big show. I had completely missed rehearsals the night before because at the time I wrote and directed and picked everything, picked all the music and all the musicians. And I know I was in between contractions, my wife's contractions at the hospital, I was calling into the rehearsal to make sure everything was being run. And I remember calling you early in the morning going, the baby's born, she's healthy, I'll see you, I'll be at the Palace at 10. And somehow we pulled off that show. I don't remember much of it. There is videotape and there's audio recording of the show, but I really don't. All I can remember is at the end of the night I couldn't find my keys. It was a blur, but it was a wonderful experience.
All right, so I've seen you orchestrate stage chaos into great performances many, many times, as you alluded to. But then you have to deal with, at times, difficult artists. So what is it about your personality that you can pull this off all unknown to the audience?
I think it's knowing the job. I've been doing it for a really long time. And artists, whether comedians or musicians or speakers or celebrities, if you know what they need and respect their process, it makes it much easier. Some people need to have complete silence before a show. Other people get really ramped up before a show. And trying to figure that stuff out and trying to take the time to anticipate what they need and know that something is going to go wrong. I always tell people I work with that something's going wrong tonight. It could be a big thing or a little thing, but we need to be ready when something goes wrong and planning for that. And if you have backup plans on your backup plans, when something does go wrong, and it does all the time, you'll be able to figure it out.
It's interesting you'd mention that because I did see the Alex Preston show not long ago at the Palace Theater, and they had a bit of a technical glitch for a few moments. But the improvement that he's made in terms of his own comfort level, being on stage, he doesn't just stand there anymore and look nervous. He is completely at home on the stage. He owns it now, whereas, say, a year ago, he didn't. So he handled the snafu pretty well.
Yeah, Alex did that night. You know, that was part of the things can go wrong. There was miscommunication with his band that evening or something, that they weren't able to make sound check, which for his big show was really a problem for me. But we tried to plan as well as possible, and something did go wrong because we weren't prepared to get all our work done earlier in the day, or they weren't prepared. So something happened. And if we had planned better, if they had planned better, because they were told to be there a certain time, it would have been smoother. But we were ready for things that go wrong, and we try to fix it as we go on.
I was going to say, fill in the blank. Blank happens, but I think maybe I won't ask you to do that
one. Yeah, it happens every time. With a live performance, something is going to go wrong. And if you have a good team with you, then you can figure it out and get through it. And the key is make sure the audience doesn't know there's something going wrong. Or if they do know, acknowledge it, fix it, and move on.
All right. So did the recession of 08, 09 put your business in any danger, do you feel?
Ticket sales were definitely off. People stopped going out. You know, for tickets for a show, we're the last thing on the list. You know, it's the phone bill, it's the mortgage, it's the car payment, it's the food for the house, and it's whatever your kids need. And then the last thing people usually buy is tickets to go out to an event. So, yeah, it did affect it very much. A lot of my clients were smart about it. Comedian Bob Marley always keeps his ticket price reasonable so people can come out. And we try to do that often. We try to just allow people. We don't overcharge for our concerts. We really try to keep it reasonably priced so people can come out and continue to come out, because it's nothing like experiencing live entertainment in a community atmosphere with a whole bunch of people who are enjoying the same thing as you are.
You mentioned Bob Marley, and I think your familiarity and friendships in the radio industry has helped open doors to get some free publicity, which I think was really smart. Bob Marley, essentially, the main comedian who you just spoke of, essentially has built a pretty much sold-out situation for himself, but it took years and persistence and getting him around town to meet people, and now the show, or multiple shows, sell out, I think, largely because of the planning that you did.
Well, I think it's a team effort. I mean, I can only promote somebody who's good enough to do to be on stage. Bob has really worked his tail off in branding himself, marketing himself, and always changing his show. When he comes back to the Palace Theater, for instance, every time you see him at the Palace, it'll be a different show. I was lucky enough with my relationships to be able to get Bob in front of people, but now people are calling us wanting to have Bob on. So it really is a team effort. I am honored to work with Bob because they've really built up a great product that is reasonably priced, and it's always, always different, and he's always growing it and working it. He's one of the hardest working guys I know. Oliver Keithley, his manager, and Bob have really built something special. I am very proud to be part of that here in New Hampshire and in Massachusetts and all the shows that I do.
Speaking of clients, Jimmy Dunn had a primetime TV show, The McCarthys, which was not renewed. How has he dealt with the non-renewal? He's not going back for a second season.
Jimmy is a fighter. Jimmy got that TV show without wanting to become an actor. Jimmy is who he is, and he's one of the most honorable people I know. He's a very hard worker. He's written two books now. He's working on his third. He's had his own cartoon, and he does a lot of stand-up comedy, does a lot of corporate stuff. Jimmy has taken it really well. He's taken it in stride. Right now, he bought a 1968 Dodge Dart, and he's driving from L.A. to New Hampshire. He's filming it, and he's going to be posting it on Instagram every day. So don't worry about Jimmy Dunn. He will be back bigger, badder, and stronger than he ever was. He's just a great guy. And you know what? You never know with that show. Somebody could go back and want to put it back on the air because it actually was a really good product.
And final question, Jim Roach. It takes guts and belief in yourself to start your own business. So give a little advice to somebody thinking about striking out on their own.
Have a passion for it because the money's not always there. You have to love what you do, even though it's difficult at times. But if you really love something and you're willing to work at it, I have a lot of friends who don't like their job. They drink heavily, they're way overweight, and they smoke too much. I don't have those issues. I have my own issues. But I really love what I do, and I think you have to have a passion for whatever you're doing.
Jim Roach, JJR Productions. Good to talk to you. Thanks.
Always a pleasure, Michael. Anytime.